Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg. It's wonderful to have all of you here with us today as we begin in the Lord's name and we begin our tasks with the Lord with us and guiding us. And welcome to all of you who are watching this at home, watching on our live stream or on demand later on. And so it's the 20th Sunday after Pentecost. It is a busy time of the year. There's a lot going on, but it's always wonderful to gather right here in our sanctuary and to just take a break from all of the other things that distract us in the world, to simply focus upon receiving God's gifts, His Word, and His sacraments. What a blessing it is to be gathered here today. Our service this morning is going to follow the liturgy and divine service setting one. That is beginning on page 151 in your hymnal. I invite you all to please stand as we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are, by nature, sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue now with our introit, which is printed for you on the inside cover of the bulletin. Praise the Lord! Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. Wealth and riches are in his house. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright.
He is gracious.
It is well with the man who deals generously and lends. For the righteous will never be moved. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray. Lord Jesus Christ, whose grace always precedes and follows us, help us to forsake all trust in earthly gain and to find in you our heavenly treasure. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word.
Today's Old Testament reading comes from the book of Amos, chapter 5, verses 6 and 7 and 10 through 15. Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and it devour with none to quench it for Bethel. O you who turn justice to wormwood and cast down righteousness to the earth, they hate him who reproves in the gate. And they abhor him who speaks the truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor and you exact taxes of grain from him, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions and how great are your sins. You who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe and turn aside the needy in the gate. Therefore, he who is prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you. As you have said, hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is found in the book of Hebrews, 3rd chapter, verses 12 through 19. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened with the deceitfulness of sin. For we share in Christ if we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand for the Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. As Jesus was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Our sermon hymn today is number 782. Gracious God, you send great blessings. Please stand. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The text for the sermon today is the Old Testament reading, which Steve so graciously read for us earlier in the service. It is from Amos chapter 5. These are the words of the prophet Amos, who once upon a time described himself as a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. And yet Amos was called to preach to people who were not like him at all. He had to preach to the upper class, the highfalutin members of the northern kingdom of Israel. And in turn, some of the words that he spoke to them were a little bit harsh because they were dealing with people who were not like them. They were dealing with the poor and the lowly, and they were mistreating them. But we're going to focus this morning especially on what Amos says right at the end of this passage in verse 15. He reminds us, "The Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph." This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, who loves leftovers? Okay, we got a few hands in the air. That's good. Not me, okay? Now, I'm not a leftovers guy. Well, I'll take that back a little bit. It sort of depends on what kind of leftovers we're talking about and how much of those leftovers we have. You know, if you have something really good for supper and you have just enough left over to reheat it the next day for lunch and then you're done with it, then I'm all on board for that, right? That's the good kind of leftovers in my book. In fact, sometimes in our house, we even plan it out that way. The other day, we ordered some Chinese takeout, and I always make it a point to order more than what I need for one meal because I want to make two meals out of it, right? I want that delicious food to come back for an encore later. That's awesome. But of course, sometimes we have the kind of leftovers where you have too much for too long. I think sometimes that happens to us when, you know, let's say you're going to host a little party at your house, right? And maybe you make more than what you need because you want to make sure that you don't run out, but then you're trying to, like, give food away to your guests as they go home, but you still end up with more than what your family can use when it's all said and done, right? This happened to me just a little over a month ago. We had a little get-together with a few other families, and I had decided that, you know, for this little get-together, I was going to use my smoker again. So I made some pulled pork that day. It was awesome. It came out great. And, you know, I told you in a sermon a few months ago that I'm still kind of new at this whole barbecue thing and still getting used to it. And part of being a little inexperienced in that area is I'm not always sure exactly how much meat I'm going to need for every sized gathering and things like that. So a month ago when I smoked this pulled pork, I mean, I just had way too much. I brought home way more than I had planned to bring home. And I know nobody's going to, like, feel sorry for me that my fridge was full of this, like, smoky goodness. But, you know, like, for the whole next week, I mean, I'm just constantly going back and trying to eat this pulled pork, right? And it's like pork for lunch and pork for dinner and pork for dessert. And I'm, like, starting to have nightmares about this pork that I got to eat, right? And eventually, after a little while, you get to the point where you get with most of your leftovers. Like, you try to eat it as much as you can, but, like, at a certain point, it's just, you've had enough. Like, it's going to spoil. It's no good anymore after a while. And so, like, so many of the leftovers that have come and gone I had to get rid of this pork. Ultimately, that's what we do with leftovers, right? Maybe they languish in the fridge for a while. Maybe we eat on them a little bit. Maybe we even get to finish them. But usually they get kind of forgotten about. They're in the back of the fridge. They're starting to get moldy. Maybe they're starting to smell a little bit. And so eventually you just got to get rid of them. We throw them away. Shove them into the garbage disposal or just toss them in the dumpster. But either way, they are gone. Out of sight, out of mind. Who loves leftovers? Yahweh loves leftovers. At least that's what the prophet Amos is telling us here in chapter 5. In verse 15, he says, "The Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph." The remnant. The scraps. The crumbs. The leftovers. The ones that we so quickly throw away. That's how this small number of faithful Israelites was being seen and being treated by the elites, the upper class, the movers and shakers of the northern kingdom of Israel in those days. They looked down upon this remnant of Joseph in the same way that I was starting to look down upon that pulled pork after about a week, with disdain and disgust. If you know your Old Testament history, this reading takes place in about somewhere around 762 BC. And at that time in history, you might remember that God's people were split up into two separate kingdoms in those days. So you had the kingdom of Israel in the north, and you had the kingdom of Judah in the south. And in 762 BC, the northern kingdom was like at the height of its power. It had a really strong military, really strong economy. It had a king named King Jeroboam who had made some decisions that led to the expansion of Israel's borders. I mean, it was a really great place to live in those days from an earthly perspective. But the only ones who really seemed to benefit from King Jeroboam's leadership were those upper-class citizens in Israel. Amos mentions in a couple other chapters in his prophecy, talks about how in those days, the elite people, I mean, they were able to drink wine by the bowlful. They were able to afford multiple houses. They had summer homes, they had winter homes. They were taking expensive ivory and they were placing it all throughout these extravagant homes that they were building. They had more than their forefathers before them could have ever dreamed of in those days. But Amos is pointing out here that there's a little problem with that, because even though the money is flowing and life is good, the poor people in the kingdom are being completely left out entirely. So what we heard in our passage today in verse 11, Amos is calling out those who, quote, trample on the poor and exact taxes of grain from them. And in verse 12, it's those who, quote, afflict the righteous, who take a bribe, who turn aside the needy in the gate. So even though everything was looking pretty good on the outside, King Jeroboam and all of the people who were kind of like him, the politicians of the day, the religious leaders, the powerful businessmen, all of these folks were essentially rotten to their core. And the main issue that Amos and by extension the Lord had with them was how they were treating their leftovers. They were forcing them to pay taxes that there was no way for them to afford so that that could fund the extravagant lifestyle of the upper class. And they were paying off the judges, so there was no recourse. Right? The people couldn't go to anyone to get justice because the judges were accepting bribes. So basically, the leftovers were being taken and shoved into the garbage disposal, tossed into the dumpster, out of sight, out of mind. Grind it up, throw it away, get rid of it. Who loves leftovers? Not King Jeroboam and not his cronies, and not really us either. See, I mean, as much as we would love to distance ourselves from, you know, those upper-class citizens of Israel, and certainly there aren't many among us who would consider ourselves upper-class, even though these people in this text definitely deserve the tongue-lashing that they got from the Lord through Amos, at the same time, I think we all know deep down that we also share in the blame. Because there's leftovers in our lives too, and I'm not just talking about whatever's lurking in the back of your fridge. But there are leftover people in our world. Now, all of us have been given people in our lives, right? By God. We call certain people our people, right? Might be your family, it might be close friends that you have, maybe it's the people that make up this community, right? Or the people that you work with. If you're in business, maybe it's your customers, maybe it's your clients, right? Maybe it's the people that are right here sitting among you, your brothers and sisters in Christ, right here at church. Probably for most of us, it's going to be a combination of all of those things. We have our people, and most of the time, we are giving thanks to God. We are praising Him that He has given us our people, right? Most of the time, it is a blessing to us that we have people that we can experience life with all of its ups and downs. Most of the time, having our people is like being served that pulled pork fresh. You just heap mounds of it upon your plate, and you savor every bite. And life is good. But we all have a limit, don't we? Right? So when we're eating, our bellies get full after a while. When we're talking about the people in our lives, sometimes we feel like our hearts get all filled up at a certain point, right? Like we've got our inner circle. We've got an outer circle, too. We've got some people that are kind of out there on the edges and on the fringe. But then you got the leftovers. Right? You got people out there that are just kind of leftover, not included. And usually, not always, but usually, who is it that gets thrown into the leftovers category? Usually it's people that we don't think are like us, right? People who don't enjoy the same kinds of things as we do, people who don't act like us or look like us, or people who don't go to the same church that we do, right? People who, I don't know, maybe they make less money than we do, maybe they make way more money than we do, right? They're the leftovers. People who don't vote the same way that I do, people that don't root for the same baseball team that I do. I mean, we just got all these people that might fall into that category. We kind of tend to write people off sometimes. And when we do that, when we let our sinful natures get in the way of our relationships with our neighbors all around us, then we become like the people that Amos is pointing out here in this text. People who really don't deserve to live in the houses that we have. People who don't deserve to drink the wine from our own vineyards. We don't even deserve, at times, to languish in God's fridge and get moldy like the leftovers we are. Sometimes, check that, all the time, we deserve the garbage disposal. We deserve the dumpster. But who loves leftovers? God loves leftovers. Right? And that's why He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. In fact, God loves leftovers so much that He personally orchestrated the next 800 years of world history after the days of Amos in order to culminate on a single Friday afternoon, the day that we call Good Friday, where the leftover, I'm saying capital L, the leftover, Jesus Christ, was led to the dumpster, to the place just outside Jerusalem where the upper class movers and shakers of Jesus' day, the Romans, tossed all of their leftovers. Golgotha, the place of the skull. This place where Jesus was essentially thrown away, ground up in the garbage disposal, beaten, stretched out, nailed upon a cross. He was mocked, he was ridiculed, he was rejected, until he finally breathed his last and his body hung there, lifeless and limp. And he did it for you. And he did it for me. Because our God loves leftovers. He never forgets about us. He never just lets us languish there in the back of the fridge. He never throws us away. Jesus, the world's greatest leftover, was not forgotten by the Father either. He didn't spoil or rot or get the least bit moldy. After only 3 days, he was raised from the tomb. And that's when you and I became his people. We are his people. We all at one time were destined for the dumpsters of hell, where we would have been out of God's sight and out of God's mind forever and ever. But because of Jesus, we who were lost are now found. And we who were dead are now alive. We have been brought into God's inner circle, the inner circle of heaven, by the blood of the Lamb. And that's where we will stay. Never going bad, but being refreshed, being renewed for all eternity. Thanks and praise be to the God of leftovers. And to him be all glory forever and ever. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand. We now join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith, and today we will use the words of the Nicene Creed, which is printed for you on page 158. We confess together, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In our prayers today, I just have one announcement for you that is not currently on the prayer list, but we are going to be including today the family of Craig Spray, who passed away. That is the son of Norman Spray. Craig's funeral will take place in Centralia tomorrow afternoon. Let us go to God together in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, God of hosts, reveal our sin to us through your word. Do not let us dare to approach you in our own righteousness, but rather to come before you humbly in repentance, that we may inherit eternal life by your grace in Christ alone. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, God of hosts, keep us from hating those whom you send to reprove us with your law, and from abhorring those who speak your truth to us, that we might repent and live. Sanctify us with your Spirit, that we may hate evil and never pursue it, but instead love good and seek it always. And bless our partners in mission and ministry, especially Pastor Hans Trinklein, who is serving you in South Korea, and also our sister congregation, Trinity Lutheran in Nashville and TSJ Lutheran School, and their pastor, David Benning. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, God of hosts, let your favor be upon all who govern us in this world. Establish the good works of their hands upon us, that we might live in peace. Be with and bless those who serve you and our nation's military, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, Alex, and Lucas. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord God of hosts, we all look to you to give us our food in due season, and we thank you that you open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living being. We ask that you would continue to provide a bountiful harvest, that you would protect all those who are working tirelessly out in the fields. Grant us favorable weather and an abundance of the fruits of the earth. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord God of hosts, we rejoice that you have granted us life in this world, that we be filled with love for you and for our neighbors, that we may serve you and your people. We give thanks for the life you have granted to all those who are celebrating birthdays this week, including especially Ron, Lily, Wayne, David, Abram, Norma, Ethan, Solden, and Charles. Bless them and lead them in your grace and truth with each passing year. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord God of hosts, have pity on all your servants afflicted in body or soul. Satisfy them with your steadfast love in Christ, and grant health and healing in accord with your perfect will. Today we especially lift before you all those who are on our congregation's prayer list, including those who are currently in care facilities: Nancy, Thretta, Ferris, Wilfred, Bill, Nina, Helen, Esther, Bessie, and Brian. We lift Tracy before your throne with her upcoming surgery, that all would go well in accordance with your will. We also lift before you those with ongoing health needs and concerns: Marvin, Gary, Ted, Amy, Beulah, Wayne, Richard, Carlene, Alma, Jim, Mike, Orville, Linda, Marvin, Larry, Chris, Jean, Sam, Laverne, Gretchen, and all those who are fighting cancer. Surround all healthcare workers with your loving arms during this time of increased pressure, and let them be your hands and feet as they serve their patients. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, God of hosts, satisfy our longing hearts with your steadfast love here in the feast of Christ's body and blood, that we may rejoice and be glad in you all our days and into eternity. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord God of hosts, we give thanks for all your saints, whose confidence in Christ you kept firm unto the end. Graciously keep us firm in the same faith, that in the end we may enter with them into your rest. Comfort those who mourn the passing of loved ones, especially the family and friends of Craig Spray. Remind them of the hope of the resurrection of the dead. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, I will invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Our service continues now with the singing of the offertory, which is on the bottom of page 159. Please stand. We now continue with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Please stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul into life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. We now continue by singing our post-communion canticle, which is Thank the Lord on page 164. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated. The closing hymn today is number 712, Seek Ye First. Good morning. I have a number of announcements. It's, as I mentioned at the beginning, a pretty busy time of the year. There's lots of special stuff going on. Thanks to the men's choir for enhancing our worship with song today. We're starting to have more special music more often. It's not quite to where we were pre-COVID, but it's always wonderful to have some special music and to hear about all of our music. Our ensembles, they're rehearsing, they're getting ready, doing special Christmas music, getting ready for that season. So thanks be to God for that. Today is the fish fry for our seniors, senior social committee over in the activity center. They are ready for you, so come and enjoy that fish fry. And then there's a special fun after lunch activity that has been planned as well, so you don't want to miss that. And thanks to all of you who have signed up to be there. Also, I mentioned in the prayers today that about Craig Spray, he had passed away, and there are some arrangements that I wanted to bring to your attention. The visitation is today from 4 to 8 p.m. at Trinity Lutheran Church in Centralia, and then the funeral will take place at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, also at Trinity in Centralia. The burial will be in our cemetery here at Trinity Hoyleton. So that is all taking place this afternoon and tomorrow. And please keep his family in your prayers. A few other things coming up. There is no school tomorrow for Columbus Day. So the office will be closed tomorrow. If there's anything that you need from Jane, if you would please wait until Tuesday for that. If you have an emergency and you need to get a hold of me, please contact me on my cell phone. There will be chime practice tomorrow. Tomorrow's also our big meeting night for the month, so we have stewardship and school board and also Board of Elders meeting tomorrow night as well. Coming up, I want to make sure this is on your calendar, next Monday, so a week from tomorrow, October 18th, is our quarterly voters assembly meeting. That will be at 7 o'clock right here in the sanctuary. And so getting ready for that, this Thursday night will be the agenda meeting. That's at 7 o'clock in the 7th and 8th grade classroom. And then followed by the nominating meeting, because we need to get our nominating committee back together. We are still looking for names for certain positions as we're trying to put a ballot together that we can present to the voters. And so 7 o'clock Thursday for the agenda, 7:30 for the nominating committee. That's this Thursday. Saturday, coming up on Saturday, we will have the Zone Fall Workshop for the LWML. I know there's a little discrepancy as to what time everything was going to take place. That will all be at Trinity Lutheran in Centralia. Registration is at 8:30, and the program begins at 9 o'clock in the morning with a Bible study led by yours truly. So Saturday, 8:30, 9 o'clock is the start, the official start time for LWML. Also, coming up ahead, we have next week, Church in the Park. So we are so excited to be able to go out to the park and worship under the pavilion. Sunday school will also take place in the park. Adult Bible class will take place in the Red Room in the community building. And then worship will be under the pavilion. Yes? Okay, yes. Okay, great. So if you didn't hear what Diane just said, for Sunday school students, please meet at the gazebo, and then that will be where you will pick your children up after Sunday school is over, at the gazebo. So, of course, we are praying for good weather, and you never know what might happen. If there needs to be a change and we need to come back over here to church, we will make that announcement via our all-call system and also on our Facebook page. Also, you need to know that next week we will not have the ability to live stream our Bible class or our worship service. And so if you want to join us, you're going to have to join us in person that day. We're going to try our best to record the service and upload it after the fact, but we're not making any promises there. There's a lot of things that might happen or might not happen. So primarily it will be an in-person worship next Sunday in the park. Please don't forget, there's going to be a picnic potluck taking place in the park afterwards. So we're asking for side dishes and desserts to be shared, and then the main meat will be provided by our elders and their families. Also, coming up, we have 2 weeks from now, we're bringing back family night, pumpkin carving night, which we're really excited about as well. So that'll be 5:30 p.m. in the Activity Center on the 24th. We're going to have a potluck meal, so please bring something to share that night. But also, we're going to be carving pumpkins together. We have some carving tools, but if you've got some of your own, please bring those along. That'll make sure that we have enough for everybody. And then one more thing. I know we've got a lot going on. looking ahead into November, the Worst Mart is coming up on November 14th. In advance of that, we're about a month away. You have an announcement in your bulletin today that we are needing the order forms. If you're going to pre-order any of the food, we need to know that by this Friday, October 15th. So you've got the rest of this week to get that together, and we are requesting prepayment on those. So please bring those into the office by Friday. Did I miss anything? Okay, well, enjoy the fish fry. Enjoy the rest of your day. God's blessings on your week. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us. Have a blessed week.